serious stuff now, okay? So he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. Hallelujah. That was part of the other. This is the serious part here. So when he had gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him. Did you ever have to run to him? Amen. Have to get in a hurry? Amen. He was running. Ask him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that's God. Hallelujah. I love to preach on the lowliness of Jesus. I hope maybe I'll get to before I leave, because it's a great secret. Lowliness is one of the greatest secrets. Humility sets you out of the touch of the devil, out of the reach. He can't reach you if you're low. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the lowliness of Jesus, he said, I am meek and lowly. He wouldn't let the rich young ruler call him good. And I guess he was addressing his flesh, you know. No flesh will glory in his presence, even as Jesus' flesh was sinless flesh. Still, no flesh compared to God. No flesh, even sinless flesh, not glory in his presence. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness. Defraud not, honor thy father and mother. He answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. You know, but he hadn't. The one that says, I shall not covet, amen, he didn't realize he'd broke that, and he thought he'd kept them all, amen. But the Ten Commandments wasn't given to be kept. Amen. All that's given for was to teach you your need for a Savior. See, God knew you couldn't keep them when he gave it to you. Right. Amen. So when you couldn't keep it, it contained the righteousness of God. When you couldn't come up to that test there and that criteria, well, then he instituted the sacrifice because of the broken law. Teach you your need for a Savior. Hallelujah. That's what Paul said. The law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. One little boy in Bible school told Brother McCarthy when he was teaching on this, said, I can too keep the law, the Ten Commandments, without being saved. Brother Mike said, how could you keep the Ten Commandments? You can't even behave in class. I heard old Presbyterian, old Coral Ridge preacher said he had an old professor in school said that, he said, we break all the Ten Commandments every day. One kid spoke up and said, ha, ha, ha. I said, you couldn't break the Sabbath except once a week. Well, he said, the same law that said you need to keep the Sabbath said you all ought to work 6 days, too. He said, if you're goofing off on Tuesday, he said, you're breaking that law. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, so if we say we don't have any sin, you know, we deceive ourselves. Truth's not in us. Hallelujah. Well, where was I? Amen. All these have observed my youth up, and Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And this story is told in two or three of the Gospels, but I chose this because this is the only place in Mark where it says, Jesus, beholding him, loved him. I don't know. I just like that. There's the love of God standing right there in person. Loving him, amen. And this rich young fool just let it run through his fingers like quicksilver. Oh, yeah. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. One thing. I would like to get up to heaven's gate, and one thing would keep you up. And that's what he said, after you've dotted every T, dotted every I, and crossed every T, then your evaluation of yourself is that you're still just an unprofitable servant. You've done only that which is required of you. Yeah, that comes in under that lowliness again. I may preach on that one of these nights, because it is a real secret to getting things from God and getting along with God and getting through the judgment with God. Don't you dare get up there to the judgment and tell him what all you've done. You keep your mouth shut about what you've done, about who you are. Amen. And then say, nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood. Now then you'll make it. But you say, we've cast out devils in your name. We're prophesying in your name. He said, I never knew you. Yeah. Hallelujah. One thing thou lackest. One thing. Then one thing can get you, and it's what he told Martha about Mary. He said, one thing is needful. That's not a bit too hard to keep track of, had it? One thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part. It's not going to be taken away. That's to sit at his feet and hear his word. Hallelujah. That's needful. Got to have that word. Got to have the word of God. Got to have it. One thing you lack, go thy way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross, and follow me. He was sad at that saying, went away grieved, for he had great possession. Jesus looked round about and said unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? The disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and said unto them, children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were flabbergasted. They were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Hallelujah. And I like the way Living Letters paraphrased this when they said, who then can be saved? Living Letters said, humanly speaking, nobody. Who then can be saved? He said, humanly speaking, nobody. Hallelujah. Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus, we come to you, Lord, as we always do at this juncture in the service, Lord, stand trembling in your presence, Lord, seeking for divine guidance and anointing, Lord, that you would lift us out of ourselves, Lord, and ring us out one more time, Lord, and make us food and drink and health and inspiration, Lord, to your people. Oh, Father, I pray that you would feed your sheep. Lord, feed your sheep. Lord, feed your sheep tonight. Lord, draw us to thee. Lord, draw us into thy fold. Oh, God, awaken in our hearts. Oh, God, that needs to be awakened. In Jesus' sweet and mighty name, Lord, we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory for it all. Hallelujah. When I was 13 years old, halfway through the ninth grade, it was December the 7th, 1941. The Japs had bombed Pearl Harbor, and I was so much farther ahead of my teachers that I had to quit school and let them catch up with me, you see. And I went out to work for Chapman Barnard Ranch. They had 125,000 acres of Osage grass, I'm telling you. There were two Tulsa oil men. They were brothers-in-law, Horace Barnard and Jim Chapman. They married sisters. And so their daddy-in-law had given $50,000 apiece. Boy, and they were oil men. I'm telling you, they held it together and managed their money. Amen. Didn't pay us cowboys anything, but, you know, that's why they had money, because they knew how to get it done, you know, cheap. And so we worked for $65 a month. Amen. When my brother started working for him a few years before that, he was working for $20 a month. Amen. When he died, he left the University of Tulsa $137 million. Amen. Wouldn't loan me $100. Knew me pretty good, I guess. Amen. 1 year we had 32,000 head of cattle on there, and old man Chapman told Ben Johnson, the foreman, that he'd paid cash for every hoof that come on there, over $2 million worth of cattle. Hallelujah. So this is back in the 40s, you know, and I mean, things were tough in Oklahoma. I don't know if you've ever been to Oklahoma or not, but it's bad sometimes in Oklahoma. Amen. Amen. You could have bought a section of grass out here for a pair of boots. And they said, well, why didn't you buy it? It didn't have the boots. Amen. You know, nobody had any. Everybody was poor. Amen. And so us old poor cowpunchers, we'd sit out there in the evening in the ranch house, and we would fantasize what we'd do if we had old man Chapman's money. and the first thing we would buy us was with a little Ford V8, amen, with a rumble seat for two, and we would wahoo. I mean, this bunch of unsaved cowboys now, we're getting ready to spend some old man Chapman's money. Back in them days, you couldn't buy alcohol like you can now. Amen. Boy, we were dry. Amen. And so we would say to the first bootlegger's house I would go, because we had to get a jug, you know, to get you kind of, as Larry Gatlin said, chemically, you know, adjust your perspective. Amen. Hallelujah. And so then somebody think of something else, you know. I always had to have a pretty girl sitting by us. And one of those Osage girls over there, they had head rights. They're pretty rich tribe, you know. Amen. And old Kid Smith said, I'm going to marry one of them little Osage girls. And said, I'm going to buy me a chair that when you can sit down in it, you can't see nothing but your eyeballs and your hands sticking out. And said, I'm going to hire Bob Wills and his Texas Playboy, and I'm going to sit down in that chair, and I'm going to say, play, boys, play. Oh, we can dream up the dream. Oh, I'm telling you. And we just keep adding on to it, and we got everything just like we wanted. There's a puncher named Old Red Brooks. Old Red would say, yeah, and a package of Lucky Strikes right where you could reach him. Boy, and we would get the V8 Ford and the rumble seat for two, and the pretty girl, and the jug, and here we would go. Well, I've lived long enough now to know that if I'd had all of old man Chapman's money, it wouldn't satisfy the longing that I have down in my soul, down in my heart, since I was 3 years old, hallelujah, to go to heaven where my mother is. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're here tonight, and you know that all the wealth in the world, amen, and money is not the answer to your problem. Hallelujah. You're in good shape to get saved. Amen. Hallelujah. If you know money is not going to cut it. Amen. That's why this young man came. He was rich, but he was shortchanged. He knew there was something missing. Amen. And this is why he ran, the Bible said, to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hoping that he could get some help. Hallelujah. Amen. But he had both hands full. Amen. And didn't want to turn it loose. Amen. Hallelujah. And so he let the greatest thing this side of heaven, amen, just run through his fingers. Amen. Hallelujah. Like quicksand. It just vanished right before his very eyes. Amen. Amen. And he kept holding on. Holding on. Amen. Like the little lady trying to get her son to shake hands with that great preacher, you know, I'm trying to say Jacob Miller, but that wasn't it. It was another guy, amen, in England, amen, great Gypsy Smith. Yeah, trying to get him to shake hands with Gypsy Smith. You know the story, amen. Hallelujah. And that mom was going home, said, why wouldn't you shake hands with Gypsy Smith? He said, I had my marble in my hand. Amen. And sometimes we trade marbles for miracles. Amen. Miracles for marbles. Don't want to turn loose the marbles we got in our hand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you're willing to turn loose of it all tonight, hallelujah, and claim the Lord, hallelujah. Praise God. See, you cannot serve God and mammon. If you're going to love money, God, it is death to a spiritual experience. Amen. Yes, sir. I was reading the book of Revelation the other day, and this is the final culmination of the beast. See, you can't buy nor sell nor trade nor do anything commercial without the mark of the beast. Hallelujah. And anybody that receives that mark of the beast, amen, he torments and the smoke of his torment ascends up forever and ever and ever. And he's tormented from the presence of God forever and ever, and he has no rest there, not forever and ever, because he chose to serve mammon. Yeah, you cannot serve God and mammon. You love mammon, love not the world, neither the things of the mammon in this world. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Amen. You love the world, it's enmity against God. I looked the word enmity up. It's a hostile act. Amen. You love the world, it's going to be hostile to God. It's like when the Russians wanted to put missiles in Cuba, we thought that was a hostile act. Man, JFK, he blockaded the sea lane. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. So to love the world is a hostile act. The love of money is the root of all evil, Paul told Timothy. Not a root, the root. Hallelujah. Because it's the pride of life that's the root of all evil. See, this is what got the devil lifted up in the first place, was the pride. Pride of life is what lifted him up, and that's where sin started, was with the devil and being lifted up in pride. Hallelujah. Didn't nobody tempt him, he was lifted up with himself. Hallelujah. Jesus said he was a murderer from the beginning. See, when he was leading the choir in heaven, they didn't have God fooled. He knew what he was. Jesus said he was a murderer from the beginning. Amen. He had a lot of them fooled, had 30 of the angels fooled. You know, that struck me the other day, how charismatic and bright he must have been to have fooled a third of the angels of God. You know how impossible it would be for you or me to fool an angel of God? See? Even one angel of God. He fooled a third of them. Well, you don't want to talk to him. Amen. Don't talk to him. He's smarter than Daniel. Yeah. If he can't talk you out of it, he'll talk you into it. I might say, don't listen to him. Hallelujah. Ain't going there, devil. Amen. Nikki said, I ain't buying what you're selling. That's a good song, girl. You just got a way of doing things right. Amen. It's good. Hallelujah. So if you're here tonight and no money ain't made you happy, amen. Why? You're in good shape to get saved. And I'll tell you something else. If you're sorry that you're a sinner, amen. If you've done something you're sorry of, amen, you're in good shape to get saved. Some folks can sin and not be sorry, you know. They cheat because somebody else cheated, you know. They did this, I did that. I just did that to get even, amen. And I'm not sorry for that. I heard an old church cries, boy. He said, I'm going to preach on the unpardonable sin. And I thought, well, what does that dude know about the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost? I said, I listened to him. I learned something. He said, the unpardonable sin is one that you can't be sorry you did. You can't be sorry for. Amen? Well, I say, you got something. Amen, that is true. Amen, if you can't be sorry you did it, amen, ain't no hope for you. Amen, you got to repent. Amen, that's the first word Jesus preached, repent. First word John preached, repent. First word Paul preached. First word Peter preached on that Pentecost, repent. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Repent. Repent. If you repent, if you've done something you're sorry about, amen. You know, if you're not sorry, well, then there's nothing nobody can do for you. God can't do anything for you unless you repent. Amen. And tell him that you're sorry. But if you're here tonight, I'm telling you, and you've been into something you hadn't ought to be in, and you'd almost give your right arm if it would never happen. Amen. There's hope for you. Yeah, there's hope for you. If you wish you'd never done that, and never gone down that trail, amen, and you're sorry it happened. Yeah, if you'd just be sorry. God, I wish you hadn't done that. There's hope for you. Woo, you can get saved. Woo, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Wonderful. I was reading one day and you know how the scripture just leap off the pages of the Bible at sometimes? And I was over in Nahum, I believe, the second chapter. And it said, I'll give her the valley of Achor as a door of hope. Boy, that perked my interest, you know. I wonder what that means. Amen. Who got my concordance down? The valley of Achor is not mentioned very many times, two or three times in the scripture. And so the Lord directed me over there to the valley of Achor where they stoned Achan to death because, you know, he had taken this touch the tithe, you know, that belonged to the Lord there in Jericho, and then they were defeated at Ai, and they And they finally found him out. You know, he said, I saw, I took, I coveted, I took, I hid. That's a good sermon. Amen. I just go right down the line. Amen. I saw, I coveted, I took, I hid. Amen. How am I done? Woo, what a beautiful picture done come here. Hallelujah. 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 So, they said they can give glory to God. Amen. They can tell by the way he testified that he'd lost the victory. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can tell. You can tell. Once you get the criteria down for judging, you know, by this shall all men know that you're his disciples if you love one another. Amen. Now I come in and you throw your arms around me and hug me and kiss me, I know you're all right. But if you stiff arm me, you know, I know something's wrong somewhere. Yeah. It's like that. Yeah, amen. Yeah, it's good to know that to the kids, too. The kids, you know, the kids, they don't want to really be around you. You know, they know they're up to something. Amen. I used to call Susan, and she was in Bible school, and oh, Daddy, I'm so glad to hear from you. Oh, it's so wonderful. But if she'd go, I said, okay, Susan, what have you been up to? Hallelujah. And so Achan, amen. They took him out and they stoned him. Amen. They took his wife and his camel, his asses, his kids, his furniture, the Bible said. Amen. And they stoned him to death. And then they burned him with fire. Amen. Not only stoned him, but then there wasn't nothing left of him but a little pile of stones and some ashes. Amen. And it dawned upon me that this was where the children of Israel decided to make a judgment about sin in their camp. Hallelujah. We're going to get rid of that filthiness, amen, and that filthy backslider, amen, and somebody that would rob God and touch God, you know, that he had said was his, amen. See if God said, we're going to make a judgment about that. Amen. They took him out and stoned him and burned him with fire. Amen. And I'm telling you tonight, that if you're here tonight and you're ready to make a judgment about sin in your life, you're ready to quit the sin business. Amen. There's hope. There's hope for you.
Oh, yeah.
Ain't that something wonderful? Yeah. Here's one. They told the Lord, said, your way is not equal. He said, what do you mean it's not equal? I said, if a righteous man turns from his righteousness, all his righteousness will be forgotten. If he turns from his sin, all of his sin will be forgotten. I said, I'll take that deal, won't you? What a deal that is, amen. You ready to quit the sin business? He'll forget the whole thing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Who wouldn't take a deal like that? Amen. Hallelujah. They said, not fair. Not fair. Now, all you pious people that have never sinned, that ain't going to mean nothing to you. Amen. But us sinners, amen, that have done a few things. Amen. We'd like to get behind this. Amen. Oh, we're ready to quit. Hallelujah. Whew, give the Lord a hand. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yeah. God wants to save you. You know, we try to keep people out. He wants them in. He wants them in. God wants you in. Hallelujah. God doesn't want you out. He wants you in. He's not willing that any should perish. I don't care if you're an Oklahoma farmer living on the Neosha River. Amen. Or a cowboy. See, I was a cowboy in Osage County on the backside of the pasture. And it always has thrilled me that God would look down and see an insignificant $65 a month cow puncher and not be willing that I would perish. Wasn't willing for me to perish. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I'll tell you something else that moves me and touches me. It's to know that my conduct can grieve the heart of God. You know, when man's imagination was only evil continually, you know, and the earth was filled with violence and antediluvian before the flood bunch, God, the Bible said, and God looked out of heaven and it grieved him at his heart, the wickedness of man. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. He even said he said he was sorry that he'd made man. One day I got broke up in his presence about like I am now, and I asked him, I said, have you ever been sorry you made me? It'd be a good question. Ask him one of these days. Well, he loved me too much to tell me that he had been sorry, and he was too truthful to say that he hadn't. So I thought I heard him say, Reed, I'm glad there's just one of you. Oh, sounds like something the Lord would say, doesn't it? Amen. He didn't want to hurt my feelings by saying, yeah, that time or two, Reed, I wish I'd have never seen you. Amen. And he was too honest to say that he hadn't. Amen. So he tried to say, he used a little tact. Amen. And said, I'm glad that this one. Remember a long time ago when old Rex Humbard was on TV and Maud Amy was singing. I heard a lady singing on TV this afternoon. Kind of reminded me of Maud Amy. She was going down the road praying for people, singing about the healing Jesus. Never did find out who it was. But he had there one Sunday morning the old Japanese captain that led the raid against Pearl Harbor. And he had old Jacob DeShazer. He was one of Doolittle's raiders over Tokyo. Remember the early days of World War II, George? I feel sorry for you, young. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, anyway, in the early days of World War II, they kind of raised the morale of the people. They bombed Tokyo. In fact, they made a movie out called 30 Seconds Over Tokyo. And so they had them on this old Hornets and B-26s and bombers. And so they were not wasn't going to take off till the next morning. But they saw a Japanese fishing boat, and they thought they might identify them, you know, and radioed somebody. And so they took off like 8 or 10 hours sooner, maybe 12 hours sooner than they anticipated, because they had enough gas. You know, if they get close enough, they could fly over Japan and land in China, you know, and get saved. Well, they had to take off early, and so old Jacob DeShazer, he crashed in Japan and spent 42 months in a Japanese prison, solitary confinement. And so he was on there that morning, and both of those guys had been saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and were missionaries in Japan. The old boy, the Japanese commander that led the fight against Pearl Harbor that day, and old Jacob DeShazer. Amen. And I didn't know much about the old Japanese captain, but old DeShazer told him how he got saved. He said, I was 42 months in a Japanese prison, and said, into my cell came a Red Cross care package that the Japanese allowed him to have. And he said, in this care package, there was a copy of the Holy Scriptures. Hallelujah. There was a Bible. Now, he said, I was raised a Baptist back in Oklahoma, but said never did get baptized, never did go forward, never did, you know, never did take. Amen. So he said, I started reading that Bible and said, boy, you talk about somebody that God gave an avid appetite for that book. He gave me an avid appetite. It was something I couldn't lay down. I'd start at the front and read it through, read it over, and it just consumed me. Night and day. Didn't have anything else to do anyway, you know, just sat there in jail, amen, and had a little old light coming up through the top of this cell, amen, and reading his Bible. Boy, it had just revolutionized his life. He was just telling everybody about his Bible, amen. And so one day, down here, the Bible was laying on the floor, and it opened to Romans 10, 9, and 10. And said the Holy Ghost directed him, his attention to that scripture. Said, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. It didn't register. Holy Ghost come back again. You know, if you will confess with your mouth and believe in the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Third time the Holy Ghost come back and said, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And he said, there I was 12,000 miles from home, from my old Baptist mama. Nobody there to take me down the Roman road of salvation and direct me into the way of salvation. Amen. Nothing but the open Bible and the Holy Ghost. And he said, all at once, it broke in upon my spirit that I had met both of those conditions. Do you remember when you met both of those conditions? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I'll tell you tonight, if you're here tonight and you're ready to meet the condition, woo, hallelujah, you can be saved. Amen. Oh, you can be saved. Hallelujah. Let me go here. I gotta go. I love to read this tract because I've seen people in the same shape this guy was in. Amen. Just hopeless situation. I mean, no way out. See, this is what the Bible means. Men's heart are going to fail them for fear in the last days because of perplexity. And that word perplexity means just no way out. Just no way out. No hope. No hope. No hope. Hallelujah. And when you don't have any hope, man, I'm telling you, it can. This is by Merlin Carruthers. He's a old Methodist guy, I guess, started out with, got the Holy Ghost, but he was a chaplain for years in the armed service. Wrote the book Prison to Pray, wrote a lot of books. But I picked this track up, I don't know where. I ordered 100 of them from him, and I don't know where they've got away to. I've tried to give them to everybody that wanted one. The title of it is, Here, Animal, Read This. What should we do with a man who is more animal than human? Such a man was placed in one of our state prisons. He hated everyone, especially the guards, and when ordered to do anything, he reacted in rage. Several guards were injured during his violent outburst. And prison authorities really don't want inmates attacking their guards. That's a no-no. Each time the prisoner attacked someone, they put him in the hole. This was a small underground cell, 8 feet by 8 feet. What's 8 feet? That's 10, isn't it? Is that 8 feet? This is 6 feet here. So about like this is 8 feet square. Okay, just to show you. The solid concrete ceiling, walls, and floor were 3 feet thick. Had a wall 3 feet thick. The floor was 3 feet thick. The ceiling was 3 feet thick. The 16-foot high ceiling was constructed of cement and steel. Now that's probably 8 foot almost there. This is probably a 10, 11-foot ceiling? What would you get? Well, this was a 16-foot ceiling. You add about 5 more feet onto this, and you'll see what kind of a hole this was. 8 by 8 and 16 feet high. 3 foot thick, solid concrete wall. The only way out was a little trap door in the ceiling that had bars over it, heavily bolted bars. In the center of the ceiling, there was a small door made of steel bars, and this was heavily bolted. No man had ever escaped from the hole. I mean, when they put you in there, you were there until they were ready to let you out. I've seen people just in about that same situation. The prisoner's entry into the hole was without fanfare. Guards opened the ceiling door and lowered a ladder. The prisoner edged his way down into his hole and watched, no doubt, with trepidation as the ladder disappeared through the small square of light above him. State laws had set the maximum stay in such total isolation at 7 days per visit. 3 times a day, guards lowered bread and water through the ceiling door and into the prisoner's hand. For most men, the 7-day treatment was sufficient. From then on, they usually followed the rules. But a guard told me that this prisoner seemed to have no control over his hatred for all men. I've seen them. Just couldn't help themselves. Just trouble just hunted them down. When a guard told him to do anything, he would lash out at that guard with his fist, with his feet, or any weapon he could find. And within 24 hours of being removed from the hole, he was again forced through the steel-barred door and down into the cement tomb. And there he bothered no one for another 7 days. After weeks and months of 7-day trips to this gruesome pit, the inmate became more like an animal than a man. Can't you imagine? He eventually was known as the animal. One day, the guard who was on duty had just finished reading my book, Prison to Praise. He thought if any man ever needed this book, it's the animal. But he despised that prisoner so much that he didn't even want to pick up the book and drop it through that steel bars. And so he just aimed it with his foot and kicked the book through the bars and hollered, "Here, animal, read this!" Alone with nothing to do, the prisoner read Prison to Praise using the faint light that came between the steel bars 16 feet above him. Later, the prisoner told me what had happened as he read the book. He mocked everything I had written. He scoffed at the idea of thanking God for things that had happened to him. In derision and scorn, he said, "Okay, God, I thank you for that 3-foot-thick cement wall. See, it's still there. Thanking you didn't do anything." Item by item, the prisoner thanked God for each wall, the floor, the 16-foot-high ceiling, and the steel-barred door. Laughing and mocking, he continued to challenge God. "Why don't you do something, God?" Then he thanked God for the damp coldness, for the numerous cockroaches, and his hunger pain, and his aching bones. The prisoner told me that after exhausting his thankfulness for everything he could see, he thanked God for the guards that he hated, the prisoners who despised him, the judge who had sentenced him, his worthless attorney, the witnesses who had lied about him, the policemen who had arrested him, the people who had kicked and beaten him when he was a boy, and for his drunken, abusive parents. The list of people to hate seemed endless. When the animal finished his list, he went back, started all over again. Hour after hour, he laughed at God and dared him to do something, anything, as he gave mocking praise and thanksgiving. On the 7th day, the ladder was again lowered and the prisoner crawled out. the guard told me that he was totally flabbergasted. When the man came through the trap door, the animal was smiling, and he had never seen him smile. Even his eyes looked happy. He was a different man. The prisoner told me what had happened. After days of thanking God, something had occurred that defies a natural explanation. He said a man had appeared in his cell and said just three words. I love you. He then said his eyes were full of love for me, and I knew it was true. The following hours were filled with genuine thanksgiving to God. The prisoner realized that he had waited his entire life to have that one moment with the man he now knew to be Jesus. Hallelujah. The guard told me that the prisoner was a living miracle to behold. Instead of lashing out at people, he wanted to hug everyone. Ooh, don't that sound like it? Amen. That's the business we're in, folks. Hallelujah. Don't let the devil lie to you and tell you it's no use coming down here and paying your tithes, amen, and paying the light bill. No, this is, whoo, glory to God, we had one saved last weekend, amen, right here at this altar. Hallelujah. He wanted to hug everyone. Gradually, the entire prison population believed the man must have met with Jesus. He had miraculously become so much like him. Eventually, the prisoner was released and pardoned by the governor, and he became a prison chaplain. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I'll tell you, the Lord can do it. Stand with me if you will, please. Glory, glory, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He's real to me, so real to me. My precious Lord is real to me. Sing it with me, saints. My soul demands reality. My precious Lord, real to me. Sing it with me, saints. Slip your hands towards heaven. He's real to me, so real to me. My precious Lord is real to me. My soul demands reality. My precious Lord. Let's do it one more time. He's real to me, so real to me. My precious Lord is real to me. My soul demands reality. My precious Lord is real to me. I had a friend who was a preacher down in Killeen, Texas. He pastored First Assembly of God down there at the Army base in Killeen. There was a soldier boy out there who had his home broke up by a preacher. And so he said he was going to break up a preacher's home just to let them know how it felt. Hallelujah. And he started coming to First Assembly, and he made a play for Sister Miller. And you know, he got the job done. She left her husband and three children, went off with that soldier boy. People at First Assembly loved him. Just stay as long as you want to, Brother Miller, you're our pastor. But he said, I was over there one day, weeping, had my head stuck under the altar, crying out to God. God, he said, what is the answer to my situation? And he said, the Lord spoke to him and said, son, the human must meet the divine. The human must meet the divine. Hallelujah. And that's the answer to your situation tonight. The human must meet the divine. Your soul demands reality. Amen. The Lord will be real to you. Come on, everybody that will, let's find a place, fall before him tonight. Let him become real to you. He's real to me, so real to me, my precious Lord is real to me, my soul.